This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Ilu Nishmas Rav Ari Leib, Ben Harav Chaim Shmuel Lapshin Zeche Tzadik Kodesh Lebrocha, Nira Lebeis Olomar, Chof Gimal Iyer, Tuf Shein, Ein Ches. Yud Aleph Tammuz, 24th of June, Rabbi Shmuel Goldberg, Human Nature.
Nice to see familiar faces here. When we discuss personalities of the Torah, we're not so much discussing about them, we're discussing about us. Be that as it may, first of all, I want to introduce the Haftorah of yesterday. There's a very interesting point made by one of the Mefarshim. I'll tell you who it is in a minute. The end of in the Haftorah, I don't know if you are familiar with the story in Tanakh, but basically there was a man called Yiftach, and there was some altercation with his family, and they weren't very happy with him, and in fact they chucked him out. He said, he ran away, and he understood that the people in the town, although they weren't his family, the other people, but they acquiesced, they agreed to this exclusion. And he gathered together all sorts of people. But the Pasuk says, where did he run to? Vayeshev be'eretz toiv. Why was it called Eretz Toiv? It's a description of a land. Eretz Toiv, land good. So there is a Yishalmi, I think, which says, it's part of Mitrumus of Maestros. So what does that help you? Well, that, on the contrary, why is it called Eretz Toiv? Because it's exempt from Trumas and Maestras. So the Be'er Moshe on Tanakh, if you've heard of that Sefer, it's a Mordecai Sefer on Tanakh, the Be'er Moshe suggests the following. Yiftach, whatever he was at the time, he wanted to avoid Machlekes. He wanted to avoid argument. But what could he do? So when he ran away, there are times when people meet, at occasions of Simcha or other occasions, people meet. He wanted to avoid a meeting. He wanted to avoid a confrontation. So what did he do? He went to a place where he didn't expect them to meet. Why? Because in Chutz La'aretz, there was no reason for meeting. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. You meet your Eila Rego, whatever it was in the time of Yiftach. Shilai. So, in other words, he avoided a confrontation in the outset. It's very interesting how a person can think a bit about his situation. And he's not even saying it's whose fault it is. Okay, it's not his fault. But nevertheless, he avoids confrontation in this way. So he preferred to be sort of exiled elsewhere in order to avoid confrontation. We have in this coming Sedra, Bilam, the Sedra of Balak, people who were terrible characters. We have in the situation where Bilam and Balak get together and their intention is not a good intention. Their intention is to destroy Klal Yisrael. But they knew that it wasn't as easy as that. So Balak approaches Bilam and asks him through messengers to come and do his job. He said, "Ki yodati eis asher tevorech mevorech v'asher tuar yuar." What did he know about Bilam? How many blessings did he know that Bilam gave which was successful? The answer is none. There was no evidence at all that Bilam's qualifications extended to giving blessings. So what did he know about him? Moav was a victim of Bilam's curses. Why? Because when Sichon, Melech HaEmori, wanted to fight against Moav, he had a difficulty. Even Sichon had a difficulty. So they called in Bilam to help them. Bilam for money, he'd do anything. And so he was coerced or persuaded to go and curse Moav, which he did gladly. And as a result, a large part of Moav was annexed by Sichon. The result is that Moav now knew he now wanted to engage Bilam on his side. Well, it doesn't matter which side you're on, as long as you pay money. And therefore, he asked Bilam to come along. Now, what was Bilam's power? Esa shetor yua. Did he really manage to curse? Did his curse, were his curses effective? Now, you'll notice in the Chumash, in Parshas Balak, there are different expressions used for cursing. Different expressions. One is Torah, one is Mekalel, or Noikev, or Kaboy. Different expressions. So the Malbim takes these expressions and explains them. And he says that Oror, the word Oror, affects in the fact that it creates a disadvantage in the body of the person or his possessions. Klona or Noikev does not do that. It's just the word of cursing itself, even though it doesn't make any impression. So he says like this, Klonas which come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know in the Sedras there it says Orur. Orur Ish Asher did this, Orur Ish Asher did that. Orur, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his curses are effective on the person who is being cursed. But where it comes to a person, he can't say Orul. He can only say Yekalil Elokov, all sorts of things. So he says that the purpose over here was in not, he may have tried, but the purpose over here was, even if the curse was not effective in the way that we described, but the people of Moav would be encouraged. They would be boosted. Because it says in the Torah, as you know, they were afraid. It says there, you'll be terrible. They'll destroy all the area and they will have nothing. So, in order to help the people of Moav to be encouraged and to stand firm against Klal Yisrael, by cursing, he would encourage them, because then people would see that Klal Yisrael avanu. But the next problem is, what exactly does a curse do if it does anything? So the Meforshim discuss and say this. When you have a person who's a good person, you can't just go along and destroy him or curse him in that way. You have to find his weak spot. And when you find his weak spot, then you can try and you can achieve. Bilam was taken to various localities. And he was, as you know, three times. And he was shown some part of Klal Yisrael. Vayar mishom kitzei ha'om. And what did he see about the people? Kitzei ha'om. Kitzei ha'om means part of the people. The people who are not so good. That was he was trying to do. And but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him it won't work. These people keep to themselves and Vagoyim lo yishasha. They don't, it doesn't work. Alright? So then Bilam, he had no option but to say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say. He's mentioned a phrase which is so potent. He says, Tomois nafshi mois yeshorim. What does that mean? I would like to die the death of straight people. Who are the yeshorim? The others. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I'll say it in Yiddish first, and then I'll translate it in English. The Chofetz Chaim commented on this pasuk. What did he say? Leben via Bilam und starben via Avraham Avinu geht nicht. Living like a Bilam and dying like Avraham Avinu gave a good send-off, that doesn't work. If you live like Avraham Avinu, then there's a chance you could die like Avraham Avinu. Thomas Nafshi Mois Yeshorim. He didn't want to live the life of righteous people. He wanted to die the death of righteous people. There are people like that in the world as well. When they die, they won't expect all the trimmings, all the send-off which everybody else gets, but may have not been so deserving of it as they think. Thomas Nafshi Mois Yeshorim. But he was prompted by Hashem to speak and say things which he, of course, didn't intend to say. So what did he do? So he was taken to another place. And there he says, so what happened there? Again, even the Egel, which was a problem for Klal Yisrael, and a problem which the Ummah Soilam saw, the nations of the world saw, that the Jewish people also don't behave always as they should have. Nevertheless, Lahibit Oven Biyakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of overlooks it. The Lahibit Oven Biyakov. Why, Taka, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlook it? So there you are, we understand that. The famous idea of the Rambam comes to mind. The Rambam discusses a law in Hilchos Gerushin, in divorce. As you know, that even in the time when divorce, a man could divorce his wife against her will, but he had to be willing. He had to be willing. You couldn't just say, hold a gun at his head and tell him to divorce his wife. But there are occasions, which the Gemara tells us, that you force him. Achiyoma writes Sali. He says, all right, I'll do it. So the question is, if you force a person and then he says, I agree, it doesn't necessarily mean a genuine agreement. It means he's doing it because he's being forced. How do you answer the question that he's not doing it willingly? So there's a famous Rambam, and the Rambam says that the person really deep down wants to do the right thing. Really wants to do the right thing. Only there are layers of evil inclination, all sorts of influences which affect him, and he doesn't come out, he doesn't do the right thing. But if you force him, which means to say you put pressure on his external and exterior, then the deep Jew comes out, and the Jew feels he wants to do the right thing. That's how the Rambam explains how even forcing a person is considered right. He says that there's another case, of course, by korbanos. It says that l'ritzoino, he has to bring a korban l'ritzoino willingly. And again, there the same idea applies. So, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Jewish people as a whole, that's the emphasis, as a whole, then he sees they're not so bad. They've got some good points. And deep down they want to do the right thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes says, okay, we'll leave them at the moment. He doesn't forget. Ein shikcho lifnei kisei chavodecho. There's no forgetfulness in the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he gives us more chances. And that is what the pshat is, lehibit oven biyakov. Be that as it may, then Bilam said another thing. Again, you know, I know this is a bracha which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in his mouth. But you know, if we would believe what wicked people said about us, Mashiach would come straight away. For example, Haman, he said all sorts of things about us. And he made a whole list of minhagim which we have, and he laughed at all of us. He laughed at them. It's a whole list there. There's a list in the Medrash there, a tremendous list. All factual evidence. But Haman was worried. Haman, the Russia, he was worried about the Jewish people. What was he worried about? He wanted to destroy Mordechai initially, besides anything else. He wanted to destroy Mordechai. So what did he do? He said, and advice of his wife, he's going to hang him. But he had to have permission. So what did he do? He came in the middle of the night. Now I ask you, it's ridiculous. He wasn't used to coming till 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning to the king. And he came in the middle of the night, and to such an extent the king said, who had ever got sent? What's he doing here? Why did he, what was his rush? Couldn't he wait a little bit? The answer is, he was worried. Mordechai is going to say Krishna in the morning. And the power of Krishna, which Mordechai would have said in the morning, would stop his plans. Cherev pifiyos biyodom, you said this morning. Cherev, a sword, a double-edged sword is in their hands. Why is it a double-edged sword? Kol ha-koyre krishma al-mitosei, it says there. If a person says krishma before he goes to sleep, then he is protected. Okay. Well, it seems that that was after that. I know. I also thought of that. I don't know. But al-koponim, in the morning, he'll make sure that he'll do it before the morning krishma. The Maisa, we know what happened, the whole story, and of course it was okay. Goliath, what was Goliath doing? The same thing. He was ranting and raving, the Pasuk says there, for 40 days. What was he doing? So Rashi says there, Kedei levatlo mikrishma. Goliath, the giant, what's he worried about? He's got everything going for him. He's a little David, or whoever he was, he didn't know it was David there, but whoever it was, they were scared of him. And that's why David had to come forward and show that he wasn't scared of him. But what was he scared of? He was scared of the Krishma of Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable. So when we think about ourselves, we should know what our power is. Why do I say this? Because Bilam said, Hen om kalavi yakum v'chari yisnaso. Kalavi yakum kishehim aimdim mishnosom. Rashi says shachris heim misgavim kalavi. They're like a lioness v'chari lachtem es ha-mitzvahs, to snatch mitzvahs. Lilbush tzitzis. We all did this today. We put on the talis, put on tzitzis. Likre shema ulaniach tefillin. Can't do anything with them. Can't do anything with them. We have to believe in ourselves sometimes, you know. We have to believe in the mitzvahs that we do anyway. But to know the potency of it, the power of it is tremendous. So he was stuck. So then he tried another place. And then again he was stuck because he said the famous pasuk, which we all know and say and hear about, "Matovu ayolecho Yaakov mishkanesecho Yisrael." What was he admiring? Rosh ein pischeim mechuvonim ze loze. The entrances of their tents weren't directly opposite each other. Why? Now, when you have curtains on your window. You know, the Goyim don't have curtains on their window, by the way, as far as I've noticed, especially in the country, they don't. Why do you have curtains on the window? So you'll answer me, because you don't want people to look into your house. Quite understandable. That's not the reason which is given here. Rashi says, or the Chazal say definitely, that he didn't want to look into other people's houses. Into other people's houses. Which is the reverse. It's the opposite. That means I am sitting in my house, and if my door or my is opposite the other one, I'll be able to look into his. I don't want to look into his house. Not my business. Yaakov Galinsky points this out. It's not my business. That middah, Bilam understood here in these words, Matovu Alecho Yaakov Mishkanesecho Yisrael. Remarkable. He couldn't fathom it. A non-Jew, a person of Bilam, couldn't fathom how people can live like this. We have to know what we've got. We've got qualities, and this is another aspect of our qualities. Human nature. What human nature? The human nature that we have through our upbringing, through our Torah values, gives us this strength. And that is what confuses the Umas Olam. They cannot understand at all. Mishkan Hasecho Yisroel. You know, the Meforshim also say, as you know, that Oyalecho And Mishkan Osecha, one refers to the tents, one refers to the places of learning, Mishkan Osecha Yisroel. This is our strength. You know, I always tell the joke of, we once had a decorator, a non-Jewish decorator, came to our house, and he came to my study. He looks around, and he says, "Tell me, Rabbi, do you know all these books?" Big Musa Drosha. So I said, I tried to. Had to be honest. They don't understand how where we read, how we read and we learn and we learn and we learn. There was a man in a home in Southport, an elderly man who was in the home, and it was actually a hotel which people used to come to, Gavritz's hotel, and this man sitting there all day long, and I think, I didn't see it myself, he had I've seen that sefer like that once, a Shas in one volume. In one volume. It's quite a big one, yeah, but in one volume. Pardon? And, I don't know how you can read it, about. And he learned from that every single day. Marvellous, marvellous. What is it? Because a person who is used to learning in his youth, it serves him in good stead later on when he's retired, and he can do, he's got less, more opportunities for free time, and he knows how to do it. A person who hasn't got that facility, who hasn't learned, and has not really got it, what should he do? Rav Shvadron tells an incident that happened which he saw himself. He said he went to a home in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, and it intrigued him that people were saying 21, 31, 41 numbers. Didn't know what they were saying. He was intrigued. So he found out they were counting the number of buses or something that were going past the... They had nothing to do. They were absolutely nothing to do. And if they had nothing to do, they couldn't fill their brains with anything. So that's what they were discussing. In other words, okay, it's not a bad thing. There are worse things than that, I know. But the idea is that you have to snatch all the times that you've got in order to be able to, it serves you in good stead in any case. So that's Mishkan Osecha Yisroel. You don't have to be in a yeshiva environment. You can be anywhere and still retain your principles and your dignity. You know, I saw a very interesting vault. It says here, Hein Om Levodod Yishkei. Does it mean physically that we are separate from other people? Listen, we live as we do. We're not in ghettos. Baruch Hashem, we're not in ghettos, okay? So we live amongst people, we do business, we go to shops. So why are we, where's the Levodod Yishkei? So I saw the following. Kofa aleim har kigigis. Everyone knows that Gemara, that at the time of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put onto Klal Yisrael the mountain like a gigis, a barrel. And he said to them, Im tekablunus ha-Torah muta, v'iblav shom take the raschem. If you accept the Torah, well and good. If not, it's disastrous. So I saw in the sefer, he asked a question. Why does it be kigigis? It could have been kof aleim ha, like, you know, if you would imagine a mountain, it comes on top of you, it's like a roof. What's kigigis? Kigigis is a barrel. It covers you from all sides. You are in the center, and it's an upturned barrel, and it covers you from all round. That's kigigis. Why kigigis? So he explains this point. He wanted to show Klal Yisrael that you are in your own environment, whether you're physically in your own environment or not. This kigigis wasn't physical because at the end of the day they were walking around. They weren't in this enclosure. But the idea was there. And he suggests, very interesting, Yosef HaTzadik. Everyone knows the Chazal, Rashi, which says that Yosef went through various periods in his life, the Torah says. Hu Yosef, hu Eibed Betzidka. He remained pious, he remained righteous. What happened? How, when he left his father's house, where did they put him? they put him into a pit. A pit has also got surroundings. A pit is also by itself. It's separate from everywhere else in the ground level. Yosef was learning, or it was a sign, that he was going to be different wherever he was. He was in his father's house, okay, fine. But then he landed up in Tzoras there with Potiphar, and he landed up there, and then he became a melech, a king, in a totally alien environment. How is he going to manage? Because he was levodot yishkoin, because he had his own priorities, his own environment, even if he was amongst people. That's a gewaltige godness, a gewaltige greatness. And we have to learn that as well. We have to learn that as well. We can't always be in a narrow environment physically, but in attitude and in ideas, that's certainly a very great priority. We are different. We don't accept their attitudes and their things which are not based on anything which is holy and which our attitudes are based on. So, when Balak saw that this person, Bilam, hadn't achieved anything, he decided enough is enough. He said, I wanted you to go and curse my enemies, at least to give encouragement to Mayoth, to encourage you that people should at least see that we've got a chance. V'hinei berachta vorech, zeh sholosh pa'amim, three times. So he told him, you're useless. So Balak said the famous thing that I can't do anything because I'm in the power of Hashem. But I'll tell you one thing Bilam said. I've got a solution. And Chazal say that was the solution. So he spoke about the Nevuah, about the future. Okay, and then he said that he had Elokeim shel elu soine zimo. The God of these people, didn't say my God. Why didn't he say my God? Why didn't he say my God? He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed because he realized that he'd gone off key. He's not such a close person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. Elokeim shel elu. He couldn't say Elokai. It's arrived from Tanakh for such a similar idea by Menashe. I'll go upon him. What happened to him? He said, he advised them to create a system of a situation of immorality, and that would entice the Jewish people, and that would be their downfall. And it nearly was their downfall. It nearly was their downfall. The Heinom Levodot Yishkoin didn't happen, because then with the Benois Mayov, they enticed the people, and the people started going out to them. They started being friendly. And for, initially for innocent reasons, but eventually it became, for one thing led to another. We don't have to say too much today in our society today. The enticements are there for everyone to see, for everyone to hear, and we have to be careful. We have to be careful. You know, Rebellion Lapian said, you have to think of three things, and you shouldn't come lidei avera. What's lidei avera? To the hands of avera. What do you mean the hands of avera? Which means to say, you have to make sure to prevent the situation from getting worse. You have to prepare yourself beforehand. If you know what you're up to, you know in your office you're going to have to confront somebody, and it's not going to be so easy as far as religious is concerned, as far as dress is concerned. You have to take precautions as much as you can. That's lidei avera. Because when the time comes and the avera, it's too late. It's lidei avera. The hand of avera. Okay. I just want to tell you one joke which Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, Rabbi Zilberstein. He says it in this week's Sedra in another connection, but this is what happened. There was a man who was an avreich, I don't know, and he found out that he'd bought an expensive chair. Expensive chair with golden handles, and it was a beautiful chair. So he was intrigued. He asked him, why did you buy this chair? He said, he learned like this. It says that the wife should respect the husband. The husband is the melech, the king. So I want to show how I'm a melech. You know, you sit in such a golden chair like a sort of a throne, and she'll respect me. That's what he told him. So he said, you've got it all wrong. He said, the respect must be earned. It's not just because of a chair. A chair won't help you at all. What you need is the character. What you need is the interest and the behavior of a person. We come across all sorts of people who have got difficulties at home. We all come across it. But if he behaves like a decent person, according to the Torah, hey, nom levot on yishkoin, then you'll be successful in everything you do, and shetatzlichu b'chol hashetas.
Amen. 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 Amen.